I can hear him clicking around on the phone. He's like, I'm having a problem too. I said, well, that's not good. If you can't do it and I can't do it, he said, tell you what, we'll be there in 10 minutes. And boom, they were here before we opened at 7:30 in the morning. Took my server and said, we're going to take it to our shop and into the clean room. We're going to open up, see what we can find here. Well, okay, fine, but now I'm out of business.
Right.
We are dead in the water. So we just started going back to the old-fashioned way of writing stuff down.
It's time for Fully Threaded Radio.
It is Fully Threaded Radio, voice of the FCH Sourcing Network. This is online, on-demand fastener talk radio, the podcast where the threaderati come to discuss what turns and what burns. So, if that's your keg of screws, we're glad you clicked in. Hey everyone, Eric Dudas here. With us as always, the co-host of Fully Threaded, lifetime honorary Texan and coat slinger extraordinaire, he's Brian Musker. Hey Bri, ready to launch another year of fastener talk radio?
Yeah. Now, I would think I'm more an expert on Texan accents. I certainly haven't quite mastered it, okay? But my parents think I have.
Yeah, well, that's clear to everyone listening, I'm sure, Bri.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you are ready for the new podcast season. I mean, you sound a little tired. Are you okay?
Well, one of my resolutions, I don't really do New Year's resolutions, but I decided that I would drink more water, okay? And the fact is, I hate drinking water. So it was this huge bloody thing of water. So by now, I would have had like 3 cups of coffee, but I've now had 3 cups of water instead.
I see. So this is the uncaffeinated Brian Musker.
Right. It's very healthy, I'm sure, or I'm told. It has a really serious downside.
Yes. Well, fortunately, we have episode 136 of Fully Threaded Radio to wake you up, Brian. I'm sure this one's going to do it because we've got a real screamer, as we'll get to in a minute. But thanks for clicking in, everyone. We're publishing this time on January 17th, 2019. In the feature segment, today's a real wake-up call, as Steve Dunham of Sasco Fasteners recounts a hair-raising experience dealing with a ransomware attack on his company's computer systems. Now, we've all seen reports of these types of attacks, and Steve generously shares his account in hopes of raising awareness of this serious threat to your operation.
Yeah, be very frightened, everyone, okay?
Well, let's use moderation, Bri. We don't want to cause a hysteria in the industry, but they are even targeting the fastener industry.
All right.
We launched the new podcast season today with a conversation with Craig Penland of Eurolink Fastener Supply Service. Now, Craig is a true salt-of-the-earth kind of guy and someone you should be doing business with if you're ever in need of tough-to-locate metric fastener items. Many of you already know Eurolink, but if not, here's your chance. Mike McNulty has industry headlines for us and rounds up last month's FDI numbers, along with NFDA Vice President Dan Zender. Mike comes out of the gate swinging this year with a hard-hitting back-page report on Washington's disastrous bipartisan malfeasance. Don't miss it. Classic McNulty.
Good.
Plus, back with another edition of the Fastener Training Minute, it's Carmen Vertulo. This time he uses the example of the recently publicized problems with the new Mario Cuomo Bridge as an object lesson in structural bolting. Don't worry, everybody. There is a mention of hydrogen unbrittlement on this Fastener Training Minute.
Thank God. We wouldn't have a complete episode otherwise.
And who better to lay it out for us than Carmen?
Right.
And who better to shout out our fantastic lineup of sponsors, Bri, than you?
Right. Well, the title sponsors of Fully Threaded Radio are Steelfast and Brighton Best International. Steelfast, for service you deserve and people you trust. Brighton Best International, tested, tried, and true. Also sponsoring Fully Threaded Radio are Buckeye Fasteners, BTM Manufacturing, Eurolink Fastener Supply Service, InSQL Software, Mac Brooks Fastener Fair USA, Indy Industries, Parker Fasteners, Vault Industrial Plastics, The Worth Group, and Solution Industries, home of Solution Man. So we welcome our two new sponsors, one title sponsor, Brighton Bessons National, and Eurolink Fastener Supply Service. Thanks to all of you folks. Make sure you favor all of these sponsors with your business, okay? They're worth it.
We always like to welcome new partners to the podcast, and this time, of course, the two big names, Brighton Best International and Eurolink. Seems like one way or another, all roads lead to Brighton Best in the fastener industry, and it's been a long time coming. Over the years, we've had lots of BBI staff on the podcast, Bri. Most recently, we had John and Peggy after the Vegas show. Of course, Rosa did the roundup with us, and many others.
George Hunt.
The third.
Third. Sorry, George.
And I'm sure there will be many more. I think we're both fairly proud that both of the preeminent master distributors in the industry are now the title sponsors of the podcast, and I hope all of our listeners will reciprocate because, in a very real sense, they are bringing you Fastener Talk Radio, which we're very glad for. Eurolink, of course, Craig and his team have been on board with FCH for a long time before coming onto the podcast. And if you've gone onto the FCH sourcing network, you've seen those banners flying and Eurolink parts. Of course, it's a sitter for the FCH sourcing network, which is the place online to go for hard to find parts. So good match there.
Or any parts, actually.
Good point.
Just correcting you, right?
Let us know what you think of the podcast, everyone. The email address is ftr@fullythreaded.com, and you can catch us on Twitter where the handle is fullythreaded. And speaking of parts, Bri, another one of our great sponsors is BTM Manufacturing. Got a blurb from Jake's desk. Cheers from BTM Manufacturing. As a domestic ISO 9001:2015 manufacturer of threaded fasteners and bent wire products, BTM provides anchor bolts, studs, U-bolts, and more. BTM is committed to making your per print special with the highest quality and customer service standards while meeting your on-time delivery schedule. The BTM team will be attending the upcoming Southwestern Fastener Association Spring Conference in Galveston and the MWFA, NFDA, and PacWest Joint Meeting in San Diego in March, and hopes to see you there. Have a project that would fit BTM's capabilities? Visit btm-mfg.com. Complete a quote form and Jake or one of his team members will get right with you. BTM Manufacturing.
And they might actually provide you some coffee too, which they also specialize in.
With Zarf.
With Zarf, right. Yeah.
And that's exactly what you need on this episode, isn't it, Bri? So they've got you double covered.
Right. Sorry, Jake. I'm just not having it. I'm not drinking the BTM Manufacturing coffee just this time, okay?
Good job hooking that in, I'd say. Well, there's a lot to hook in on this episode, folks, and we thank you once again for joining the podcast. We're going to go top off our coffees. Well, I will be, and be right back with you after a couple words.
Okay.
It's Fully Threaded
Radio.
Two men, one server, a fastener dog, and a stunning lack of more lucrative alternatives. It's Fully Threaded Radio.
At Brighton Best, we continue to expand our wide range of products, including stainless steel and metric fasteners. Our family of brands include Preferred, US Anchor, and Ironclad Performance Wear. BBI has been a trusted partner since 1925. With award-winning hand tools, gloves, and drywall screws, BBI is the largest master distributor of fasteners in the USA. Tested, tried, and true. We are Brighton Best. To learn more about Brighton Best, visit brightonbest.com.
When top quality and outstanding service are at the top of your list in fastener suppliers, turn to Stelfast. Since 1976, Stelfast has grown to become an industry-leading importer and manufacturer of the highest quality industrial fasteners, specialty items, and automotive parts. Our array of facilities across North America and in Asia, along with full quality control labs and ISO 9001:2008 certifications, ensure the highest quality parts, and at Stelfast, they're delivered with undisputed service excellence. We're family-run and dedicated to your success. Our customers have come to depend on the expertise of our staff and the quality of our products. We also offer a wide range of secondary services to meet some of the toughest requirements you might have. Contact Stealthfast today through our website at www.stealthfast.com and put us to work for you. Stealthfast. Service you deserve. People you trust.
Hey mates, Brian Musker. Regardless of the required size, material or finish, Eurolink has the European resources to meet your demands for hard-to-find metric fasteners. We're the one-stop source for all of your metric needs, saving you time and money searching for these parts while fulfilling all of your requirements. How do we do it? Eurolink offers access to more than 100,000 quality C-class parts with the ability to solve your toughest metric fastener supply issues every time. Hard-to-find metric fasteners? Delivered. Just think of us as your heavy metal rock stars. To learn more about how we can rock your world or request a hassle-free quote online, visit EurolinkFSS.com. That's EurolinkFSS.com.
Parker Fasteners is your premier cold heading manufacturer, forging the future with precision and quality as our top priority. When you think of domestically produced sockets and tamper-proof screws from alloy and stainless, including A286, think Parker Fasteners. Our lockout line of security fasteners feature high torque, oval center pin design, and unique lobes that provide one-of-a-kind security for your customers. Our in-house 3D printing capability makes the prototyping process fast and affordable, and we're ready to produce your large or small run orders with highly competitive pricing and unbeatable lead times. So, forge the future with Parker Fasteners. Visit Parker Fasteners online today at parkerfasteners.com.
Hey, this is Clayton Allen from Buckeye Fasteners in Cleveland, Ohio, and you're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Brian and Eric, back with you. It's the online fastener espresso machine, Fully Threaded Radio.
Not too espresso for me, actually.
Do you say espresso or espresso?
Well, I would say espresso, knowing it's totally wrong, okay? That would be more of an English thing.
Okay. I just figured I'd ask you that.
I mean, part of the whole English thing is being able to bastardize everyone else's pronunciation of their language, okay? And feel really good about it. Yeah, it's a joke.
As I realize what you're saying, you're drawing a picture for me.
Right.
Reading the latest Link magazine, page 31, this is a follow-up to something we mentioned on a previous episode, Bri. There at the top of page 31, wanted, safe return, no questions asked. One-of-a-kind solution man bobblehead, last captured on film alive by Fastener News Desk.
Now, oh, yeah.
You might remember, everyone, that there was a bobblehead of John Riddell, the boss over there at Solution Industries, and it went missing at the Fastener Show in Vegas, and now they've put a wanted sign up in Link Magazine.
Well, I'd want it back, too, if I was John Riddell, actually.
Well, it was a one-of-a-kind, and he was serious when he emailed over and said, please ask your audience if anyone's got any information on it, and it got a kind of a Old West wanted poster kind of a look to this thing. It says, contact Sheriff John Riddell, Solution County, Ohio.
Good.
So it's kind of a joke, but I think he doesn't want it back.
Yeah, I think so.
Any tip-offs wanted. So if you know anybody, or if you're the person who accidentally absconded with this bobblehead thinking that it was a giveaway, it actually wasn't. It has some sentimental value for John Riddell. And, well, look at page 31 of Link Magazine, as well as the rest of the magazine. You might as well read that while you're out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you do provide info leading to the recovery of the bobblehead, my guess would be you'd get some really cool Solution Industry swag.
Right. They've got some good hoodies and all sorts of things that I wear in the winter, okay?
It's great. Solution is up there in one of the top apparel distributors, as well as being a fastener distributor. You know, Laura's over there, Solution woman. She's got, I don't know, she's got the bead on what's moving in the fastener industry. Some of those shirts are great.
No fridge magnets that don't stick on the fridge from them, okay?
No. Of course, we've got Craig Penland with Eurolink coming on, and he's no slouch either. But we'll talk about that in a little while, actually in just a few moments. But first, let's let everybody know and remind everyone that we are the people who bring you the FCH Sourcing Network, which is found at fastenersclearinghouse.com. It's a huge online resource for you anytime you need to find a hard-to-find or out-of-stock item, or maybe your parts are just on the water, or you want to find a new vendor for what you're already buying. FCH Sourcing Network's the place to do that. About 1.5 million listings these days, and it's free to use.
Right, that's fasteners with an S. Still amazing how most people who communicate with us still call it Fastener Clearinghouse.
Yes, it's fasteners with an S, S for search for what you need.
S for scrubber, S for superior, S for whatever you want, okay?
Well, it's been for many things over the years, hasn't it?
It has, actually.
Yeah. Just not coming up with anything that's that thematic today, that's all.
Okay.
Thank you for pointing it out, though, Bri.
Glad, okay?
Maybe we should make a t-shirt, and that could remind everybody.
We actually haven't done a t-shirt in a long time.
Or maybe we'll leave the cool t-shirts to the experts in the industry, one of which is coming up during this conversation. Why don't we roll a segment with Craig?
Yeah, I think that's a better idea.
Well, it's a new year and a new season of Fastener Talk Radio, and we couldn't think of a better way to launch it than by inviting our newest partner in for a conversation. Back on episode 125 of this program, we explain the unique and innovative model of Eurolink Fastener Supply Service. And joining us again is the visionary behind Eurolink. Hey, Craig Penland, welcome aboard.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
We're doing good, thanks.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Glad you could take a little time out. Now, you're down there in Greer, South Carolina, which has been hurricane country lately. So you guys are basically dodging hurricanes and watching football. Is that true?
Well, we're in the upstate, so we're not right next to the hurricane area down here, but it has been a busy hurricane season in the south, and of course, with the Clemson right down the street from us winning the national championship, it's been an exciting January.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Greer, which one of the military is based out of Greer, isn't it?
No military here. We have BMW and Michelin here. Michelin's North America headquarters and BMW's North American headquarters are here.
Okay.
Yeah, Brian, we're both mistaken. We didn't realize how inland it is. I'm looking at Google Maps here now. So you're about equidistant between Atlanta on one side and Charlotte to the north.
Yes. Yes. We're almost right in the center. They call it the I-85 corridor. And we're almost right in the center of it.
Because I thought I saw on Twitter a couple of times when these storms were really ravaging the East Coast that you were shutting down operations. So you were getting really hammered with what? Just the side effects of those storms or what?
Yes. Yes. We did get a lot of weather coming up to the upstate that affected our electricity and heating and so on and so forth. So there were a couple missed days in 2018 due to that. Not much, though. Not much.
Well, you're pretty active out there on social media, so we pay attention. And I guess that's what it's good for. But I guess you don't get the full story that way.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, me being active on social media. But
it depends if you ask Eric or me, okay?
Yeah, but I didn't see those tweets, Craig.
Well, I see them. Whether I do anything about them is another matter.
Okay? That's kind of my MO, too. I see a lot. I just don't respond a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't see them. Hey, Craig, with your particular position in the fastener industry, what's your read on business conditions at the moment? What are you seeing?
2018 was amazing. I know they were for our company. We're extremely blessed with the sales that we had. I'm looking forward to 2019. Honestly, guys, I think that January has started out like a fire. And I think unless our new house changes the direction that the economy is headed, I don't see a setback coming. I'm excited.
Yeah, well, none of us know, do we? I mean, probably one of the best things, if someone took our president's phone away, it would be helpful to all of us, I think.
Yeah, speaking of social media.
Right. Now, here you start talking about the bad parts of social media, okay? I mean, you can turn a great economy into a disaster with like three tweets.
You never know.
But what in particular are you thinking the House could do that would affect conditions? In other words, are you thinking that some of the actions they're discussing could throttle business a little bit and that might be a setback? Is that the direction you were going?
Well, yeah. I saw an article just a couple of days ago that they've already introduced a bill to raise business taxes and to go back up over 30%. And I think that could throttle business and slow the economy. That's just my personal belief. You know, obviously nothing has been voted on, nothing's been passed to this moment. But to me, just that type of thinking could slow down our economy some. So I'm not one of these. I'm not a news junkie. I'm not one of these that's going to sit here and look at the news 24/7 and read every single positive or negative article about Washington and what's going on. So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, the direction that they want to head, but if, you know, raising business taxes is one of their focal points, then I just believe that that could be harmful to our economy.
Well, we'll have to watch and see what happens. I think a lot of people are wondering about all that. But let's refresh everyone's memory. Back on episode 125, you gave everyone the thumbnail and more, actually, about the model that Eurolink FSS is pursuing. And if you could refresh our memory on that, you serve a lot of different markets and you're specializing in hard-to-find metric fasteners. That's really the gist of it. How are you doing that?
Well, we started based on a need in our industry. I felt like there was no one in our industry that was able to handle the metric fasteners that were not necessarily kept in stock here in the U.S. by the larger stocking distributors. But we had to figure out a way to get these fasteners in from Europe, which keeps so much more sitting on the shelf, and do it at a price that customers here in the United States could afford. So we worked many years coming up with different air freights and sea freight options, and then worked with many suppliers over in Europe until we got to the point that we are now. And now we have 15 to 20 different European suppliers that we deal with on a daily basis. We have 10 to 12 air freight shipments a week coming in from Europe, and we have multiple sea freight shipments coming in every single month. So we're able to give our fastener customers multiple opportunities to control their costs. They can determine how quickly they need it, and they can determine how much they want to spend for it. So basically, we handle the items that are just not kept in stock. And we try to do it in a very timely, very professional way.
So you've got access to a wide range of these really tricky to locate parts, and people can get them fast. It's a great combo.
Over 100,000 C-class items that we have access to on a daily basis.
So does that isolate you a little bit from the, you know, all the problems of the tariffs then? I mean, because they don't really apply quite so much to Europe, do they?
Yes and no. The European distributors that we buy from, they do buy from China. So at the end of the day, the country of origin on some of the items is China and has affected some tariffs. But we chose back in September of last year not to raise our tariffs on the items that we're selling, because it's not every single item that we're selling. And we just felt that doing a 10% increase across the board was just not fair to our customers here in the United States if 75, 80% of the items actually coming in were not actually coming from China.
Okay. I mean, I would think that there would be not that many German production, you know, production companies that would be buying their steel from China. I mean, they're pretty proud of their steel in Germany themselves.
Yeah, this is true, but they do buy some items. You see a lot of machine screws coming in from Asia, and also with the whole Virage ban here in the United States, you see a lot more stainless steel items coming in from China and Taiwan now too.
So then to what extent are the the metric fasteners then that you sell regularly actually manufactured in Europe?
Wow. It's been a while since I sat down and done those type of figuring. You're asking me.
You just thought this was going to be easy.
I have now. And I would say less than 50% of what we import is actually manufactured in Europe.
Okay. Interesting. I would have thought higher, but okay.
You find that, you know, flat washers and lock washers that are less than a penny a piece, European manufacturers, German manufacturers are not going to mess with that kind of thing. Machine screws, they're not going to mess with. You can find manufacturers for hex heads and socket heads and hex nuts, but the cheaper items, they're going to stay away from them unless the quantity's there. And a lot of those European manufacturers, if the quantity is there, they would much rather sell to the end user than a distributor.
No, it's pretty much like in the States.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to see the same thing. The really high value, high engineered parts are going to stay. And then the easy to make commodity type stuff, that's going to China.
That's correct. Basically the same concept.
So you do a lot of business in Europe or with Europe, obviously. You were mentioning that you're heading over in March to Fastener Fair Stuttgart. That's got to be really an essential part of your business. You've been doing that for many years, haven't you?
This is correct. This will probably be my fifth trip over. They hold that that Fastener Fair every other year, so it's not annually over there. And it is a huge show. And we've had much success by going over there and sitting down and having dinner with our vendors and speaking with them, telling them what the market in the U.S. is like, telling them the type of items that we need to be focused on, asking for their help on making sure our shipments are consistent, asking for their help on freight costs, getting some of the items here to the United States. So it has been a very beneficial to our company to spend quality time over there and in front of our vendors.
Given that you've experienced that show so many times, and probably many people in the FTR audience have not, how would you say that it differs from what you'd experience either at the Las Vegas Fastener Show or Fastener Tech or some of the other local regional shows? Here, I mean, what's the biggest difference when you go to Europe for a fastener show?
First off, the size. That one in Stuttgart is tremendous in size. It takes up more than three halls. And I think 2 years ago when we went, there was like 3,000 or 5,000 different companies there displaying. I mean, it was just, the size is amazing. Then, honestly, what stands out to me the most is there's absolutely nothing around the fastener hall. You've got the airport, you've got one hotel, and then you've got the hall itself. And besides that, it is a blue-collar town, and there is absolutely nothing around it. There's no restaurants, bars, anything to that nature. So you actually have to go into Stuttgart to, you know, to eat dinner or to have a drink or whatever kind of entertainment that you're looking for. So just that it's sitting out away from everything else, that you don't have anything to distract you during the day, is pretty amazing to me.
Interesting comment, actually. Yeah.
So is it less of a social event than Vegas, for example? I mean, in Vegas, everybody's always reminiscing about Columbus and having a central place where everyone could go to drink. And there have been different, alternatives to that. And some of them have been marginally successful. But the point is, people get together, they look forward to it, and they hang out together after the show. So at Stuttgart, what happens? I mean, is that just not a part of it?
During the show itself, what I have found over my last five trips is that you schedule a lot of meetings. There is general managers and owners of companies over there, they spend a lot of time in private meetings. So they don't spend nearly the amount of time as we do here in the United States of just people walking by the booth. So you've got to set your schedule prior to going over there and make sure that you've scheduled all these meetings. Now, after the show is over, that one hotel sitting right outside the door, their bar area is pretty busy, but it's a small hotel. I mean, if I remember correctly, they probably had about 10 or 15 seats at the bar. And so it's not a huge place. So then you have to schedule taking the train or getting a taxi or Uber or something to the that nature to get downtown and meet someone or another company there.
Well, that part of the world, drinking would be more done in a beer garden somewhere rather than in a bar in a hotel.
They actually start serving at about 8 o'clock in the morning at the right outside the doors of the fair.
Right.
Well, so similar to here.
This is Germany.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
I think there's some parties going on, Craig. You might not have been invited to them yet. I think you got to expand a little your social network. But you're all business when you're there, aren't you?
I try to be. Yes. It doesn't always work out that way, but I do try.
So do you ever have any fun time afterwards? I mean, do you get to actually drive around any other parts of Germany or trip off to Italy? It's only 3 or 4 hours drive.
Actually, the last couple trips have been extremely exciting. I have got a chance to attend a Dortmund home, let's call it football, soccer game.
Yep.
And that was amazing seeing their wall, their fan wall that they have, because that is a world-renowned football club. So I have got a chance to have dinner at the top of the Porsche Museum. That was an exciting event that we got to partake in. I've been at the top of a TV tower that circulates while you're eating your dinner. And just getting to see some of the local towns, you know, this year is actually going to be even longer. My wife and I are taking a couple extra days, and we're not only doing Germany this year, but we're going to do Austria, and we're going to do Amsterdam this year, too.
Oh, wow. Okay. You could drive up from there, you know. I did that drive.
That is correct. We're doing a rental car, and we're going to do the drive through.
Oh, cool. Lots of places to stop on the way, okay?
That is correct. That is correct.
Stop in the Rhine Valley and the Moselle region and spend a little while driving around there with all the castles. It's pretty amazing.
It is. Those castles that they have there are just amazing.
Yeah, I don't blame you one bit. You go out there, take advantage of as much Farvignugan as you could get, and I would be doing the same thing. I've also heard that there's a lot of plant and facility tours that happen in conjunction with that, which is not surprising. Obviously, travel's involved, and I remember reading about the big tour that Wirth did, and they had people out to their facility, and of course, everything that I've seen, it's a magnificent facility, the artwork, the architecture. Professor Wirth's very proud of all of that.
Unfortunately, I can't talk about that as I've never been there, so I don't have any history seeing the Wirth facility.
Seems like you need to bend someone's arm to get a invite.
Unfortunately, they're not one of the companies that we purchase from, so they don't send out an invite to me.
Well, there's a few listeners out there I know. Maybe they can reach out and they'll try to twist your arm, get some business. You never know. This is the social media tool for an industry that does not use social media, Craig. So stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
Well, then speaking of trade shows, you're attending Stuttgart as a visitor, but come stateside, you'll be attending the big show, Fastener Fair USA, in May, right?
That is correct. We're excited to do that for a second time. Last year's show was very successful for us, and we immediately signed up to do this year's show. So something we're looking forward to.
Yeah, congratulations on that booth, by the way. That was looking really sharp, and I know that it matched your whole motif, the rock and roll motif that you've been pursuing with your publicity and your advertising and that, and it just all matched. It looked great.
Well, thank you. It was a project that took some time, and we thought about it a couple years ago and started building on it, putting it in place, and was finally able to finalize it, honestly, like a month and a half before Cleveland. So we were excited to get it put up for the very first time last year and utilize it. And it was just so happens it was right beside the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so you couldn't get any better than that.
Oh, yeah. It fit right in. And you had your black T-shirts and all that. You know, while we have you here, it's a great perfect. I just thought of this. You got these T-shirts, these beach motif T-shirts. I was wondering, are you changing directions on all that or what's up with that? I like the shirt, but.
No, we went to still the rock and roll. We went to a Kenny Chesney concert, and we decided that maybe we need to have a summer tour, and we put out the summer tour T-shirts. So no, it's still the rock and roll, just a little change, a little flip-flop weather. And so we were excited about putting those shirts out at the beginning of summer last year.
Okay, well, I know you weren't entirely happy with the actual fabric of the T-shirt itself, which, you know, we've got our own snafus that we've had with giveaways, but still, I have to say, Eurolink is among the coolest T-shirts in the industry, no matter what you come out with, and personally, I liked it.
Well, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I liked it, too. I thought it, I thought the artwork on the back just didn't feel right against your back, but I actually like the T-shirt design a lot, so we'll do another one.
So are they like 20 sizes too big, like our problem?
No, but if you washed it in hot water and put the heat on dry, and it was going to be about 20 sizes too small after you were done.
Yeah, tell them your story, Bri.
Yeah, so our thing was that we had some really cool hats. They're like sun hats that, you know, not just a baseball cap. It's a whole.
They're safari hats.
Yeah, safari hats. Being outside in the garden or fishing or something like that. Really cool ones.
Kangaroo hunting.
Yeah, or anything, okay? And they, when we got them, the sizes that were, you know, 6 and 6.5 and 7, all these things that you know normally are hat sizes in America, had no relationship whatsoever to the sizes inside these hats. You could, even the smallest one they delivered, you couldn't possibly wear it without putting stuffing around it to try and hold it on your head. They were like, instead of size 7, it's like size 25.
Wow. A
complete failure, which is very unfortunate.
Maybe they were metric size, Bri.
I don't know what they thought of these things.
I hope they fixed it for you. Terrible.
We still have some left, actually. Probably nearly all of them.
We only got rid of one or two. So.
Yeah, right. to Eric and myself.
That's what I was about to say. You two have one, nobody else.
Yeah, right. We can put up with them falling off all the time.
It's a collector's item for 25 years from now.
Well, I did have one, but it fit me so poorly that the first time we went up on plane in the boat, it blew off my head and I never looked back, bro. I just let it sink.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Well, anyway, Craig, hopefully your T-shirt snafu wasn't that bad, although we're looking forward to getting some more shirts from you in May, and then we're going to see you around at other places as well. Anybody can get out to EurolinkFSS.com and find out all about Eurolink and your unique service. And, of course, more and more people are discovering that. You've got a great team of reps that you work with as well, Craig. I was glancing at your website, and they do great work for you too, don't they?
Absolutely. I've got a fantastic team. Actually, just recently added Tony Gross with Assembly Products just in the last 6 months. So finally have representation down in the Texas area. But yes, we currently have probably about 10 outside sales reps at this point, covering over 40 states. And we're extremely happy with the reps that we have.
And the captain of that rep team is none other than Hall of Famer Robbie Gilchrist. So good for you on picking some top talent.
Absolutely. Robbie came in my office probably about 10 years ago and making a sales call for another company. And he decided we spoke a couple days later and I told him that I wanted to hire him in our area. And then about 6 to 8 months after that, we started talking about other areas. And I basically just handed over everything dealing with the outside sales reps to him. I trusted his opinion, and he hired a great staff. He started off with Mike Henry and Kenny Schlielock and a couple others, Randy Batten, and then have just grown over the years with us hiring Jackie a few years ago, Jackie Ventura, and Mike Toll and Rob English. It has just grown and grown, and we're excited. They do a fantastic job repping our company. And we have picked up a tremendous amount of sales because they're out there knocking on doors for us.
See, that's why Robbie is where he is, because you hired him to be a rep and then he sold you the whole team. So that's what he does. So good
for
you.
It
looks like it was a win-win.
It has been. It has been. He has done a fantastic job for us and had no complaints to this point.
Well, once again, Craig Penland, you are the head honcho over there at EuroLink Fastener Supply Service. It's great to talk to you again, and I know we'll be speaking with you probably before the next show, but we'll see you there for sure. And I hope
That's
we get
awesome.
A shirt out of it.
That's awesome, guys. Thank you for having me today. You guys have a blessed week.
Thank you. Likewise, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. We'll be back in a minute. It's Fully Threaded Radio.
Since 1905, Buckeye Fasteners and the Ohio Nut and Bolt Company have been supplying the world with high-quality fasteners. Our standard product lines include weld fasteners, graded weld screws, leg levelers, self-clinching hardware, clevis pins, rivet nuts, and various other fastener lines, allowing us to support virtually all types of industries. We have complete custom manufacturing capabilities in low-carbon, medium-carbon, and stainless steel materials, and our quality systems are registered to ISO standards. Our on-staff engineering department can assist you with product development and provide total technical support. Our knowledgeable sales team members offer superior customer service and are here to answer any questions you may have regarding our products. Having a hard time finding a part? Let our sourcing specialist do the work for you to locate those items. We offer competitive pricing with typically smaller minimums and shorter lead times. To find out more about Buckeye Fasteners, please call us at 800-437-1689 or on the web at buckeyefasteners.com. Buckeye Fasteners, more than just weld.
I need 5,000 3/4, 10 by 9 and 3/4 grade 8 zinc yellow tap bolts right away, but they're not a standard size.
Solution Man Ken. I carry a wide variety of sizes and I can quickly cut them to any length. See Solution Industries website for details at solutionind.com.
Using your bare hands?
I do use a saw on smaller parts, actually.
Solution Industry. We are Solution.
Hey, fastener professionals. One of the most anticipated events in the fastener industry is just around the corner. Make plans today to attend Mack Brooks Fastener Fair USA, which takes place in Detroit May 22nd and 23rd, 2019. Over 300 companies from around the world will exhibit at Fastener Fair USA in 2019, showcasing the latest solutions for key industries like automotive, aerospace, construction, power gen, MRO, and more. In addition to exhibits during two full days on the show floor, you'll find plenty of topical information and technical and distribution conference sessions and networking events, such as the opening night reception. No matter where you fall in the supply chain, Fastener Fair USA is your opportunity to join more than 2,000 manufacturers, suppliers, distributors, and end users in the heart of the Midwest at Detroit's Cobo Center, May 22nd and 23rd, 2019. For more information and to register today, go to www.fastenerfair.com/USA. See you at Mack Brooks Fastener Fair USA.
Hi, this is Frank Duffy from Set Screw Manufacturing Company in Elgin, Illinois, your one-stop shop for set screws. You are listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
And we're back.
With more predominance.
Yes, predominantly fastener-related talk radio. Well, this is the news segment of the podcast, everyone. As most of you know, couple of news items from our friends over there at BTM Manufacturing. First one is BTM is pleased to announce that Jake Davis, BTM Manufacturing's president, has been elected vice president of the Southwestern Fastener Association.
So it seems like Jake will have to be practicing his Texan accent, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
I'll be able to give him pointers.
A couple of social climbers, you two.
I know. Totally unabashed.
Also coming from BTM, they made an announcement the other day that is kind of a big deal to some people. They welcomed well-known industry rep Jackie Ventura as a rep for BTM Manufacturing, covering Ohio, Michigan, Indiana. I'm not sure what her whole territory is, but that general region.
Northeast and Midwest.
So that's a win-win right there. Good call, Jake.
Yeah. Not that you're a little biased, okay?
Well, I have my reasons.
I know.
The Fastener News Report is coming up in mere moments, everybody. Brought to us this time, of course, by Volt Industrial Plastics. We thank you so much for listening, and we'll just reiterate that we'd be very happy if we receive feedback from you at any sort. The email address is ftr@fullythreaded.com. And as always, Mike McNulty will have the FDI numbers. And as I was glancing at American Fastener Journal, there's a story by our buddy Harry Mosier from the Reshoring Initiative on page 54. It's titled The Universal Logic of Local Sourcing. And it's an interesting article in and of itself, but it reminded me of something. And that is that Harry uses an FDI, which is not the Fastener Distributor Index. And I thought maybe people who were just taking a casual look might be a little confused. That ever happened to you, Bri? Get confused with Harry's FDI and our FDI?
I get confused continuously by lots of things. That's one of them.
A cup of coffee will help you.
Okay. Right. I knew I had something I really, really needed.
In the context of reshoring that Harry Mosier refers to, FDI is foreign direct investment. So, yeah, keep that in mind when you're thumbing through American Fastener Journal, where you do see his stories appear from time to time.
And on Fully Threaded Radio, actually.
That's true. Although not for a while, I'll have to get him back. But he's also appeared in Fastener Technology International, which is the home of Fastener News Report Editor-in-Chief, Mr. Mike McNulty.
Who's back to being totally focused on the fastener industry, okay?
Completely, now that football season's over.
I know, thank God for us. It's always a worry when football season's on.
That's right. We need someone to rail against the government, and football is definitely a distraction. So without further ado, with news about screws you can use, here's Mike McNulty.
Thanks, Brian and Eric. This is Mike McNulty from Fastener Technology International Magazine, bringing you the Fastener News Report, which is sponsored by Volt Industrial Plastics, makers of the world's finest plastic fasteners. The Cleveland Browns didn't make the NFL playoffs this season, but they have momentum as well as a new head coach, and they are favored by many to win their conference in the fall. So I'm still focused on fasteners and ready to deliver today's Fastener News Report. In this episode, we will reveal the latest results of the Fastener Distributor Index, also known as the FDI. Also in today's broadcast, we have our top story on Semblex Corporation and newsmaker headlines from Edsco, Endries, Shamrock, Brighton Best, The Worth Group, Parts Master, and more. On the back page report, we're going to talk about bipartisan politics. We'll get to all of that and the latest FDI results right after this.
Whether you need a small or large number of fasteners, there is no reason why you should have to sacrifice quality or service for that matter. Volt Industrial Plastics takes great care with each and every order to ensure you receive a quality fastener in a timely and affordable manner. Our state-of-the-art production equipment allows us to produce any quantity you request quickly and efficiently. And with same-day shipping on nearly 1 million in-stock fasteners, we carry an inventory so you don't have to. Visit us online at voltplastics.com to find out more about our quality American-made products. Volt Industrial Plastics, manufacturer of the finest plastic fasteners in the world.
Harry, now that you use InSQL software, how do you like it?
InSQL has delivered. They truly are written for fastener distributors. It's affordable and their support staff is great.
We found InSQL's support staff has depth. They know our industry and they certainly know their software. I see they've helped you pronounce InSQL.
Yes, but what does InSQL mean? Is it written in SQL? Is the data stored in SQL? Are they located in SQL?
InSQL uses the industry standard Microsoft SQL database, which is why it's so powerful and easy to use.
Oh, the database is stored in SQL. I don't even know where that is. I hear it's a nice place.
Harry, InSQL uses a SQL database because it's current technology and your data is completely accessible. No more expensive custom reports.
Is that why InSQL is so easy to use? Where is SQL on the map?
One of their many support members will help you answer that. Go to their website, www.inxsql.com, or call toll-free, 877-446-9775.
My customer sent me a print for a bolt specifically for the machine in his shop, but we can't make it.
Solution man, Ken. Provide me with a print, and my superhuman CNC machining team will custom make it for you faster than a manufacturer's rep drinking at an open bar. Visit the Solution Industries website for details at solutionind.com.
Wow, that is fast.
So are you at the distributive social, huh?
Solution Industry. We are Solution.
Mike McNulty.
The seasonally adjusted FDI reading for December was 56.5, retreating slightly for the second consecutive month, down from 58.2 in November and 62.2 in October. Fastener Distributor Index data is collected and analyzed by the FCH Sourcing Network, the National Fastener Distributors Association, and Baird. The FDI seeks to identify demand, pricing, and outlook trends within the American fastener distribution industry. To get some insights on these results, we talked to Dan Zentner, the current NFDA Vice President and the new Vice President of North American Sales in the Agri-Solutions Group of Trinity Logistics. Hi, Dan. Thanks for joining us on the Fastener News Report.
Mike, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
And Happy New Year. I just realized it's a new
year.
Thank
you. Same to you.
Thanks. So what can you tell us about the latest FDI results?
Well, to be honest with you, I thought it was not a surprise. I'll say it that way. At this time of year, we see things soften up and lighten up a little bit. I guess the questions that we really want to see is, what does the first quarter and second quarter look like for most of our customers? Was anxious to see some progress happening within the trade discussions with China. I think that's going to be positive as that starts moving forward. But all in all, from what I saw as the results, I'm still optimistic.
Well, that's good. And the optimism leads into the next point. The forward-looking indicator rebounded in December compared to November to 54.1. And it was improving over the November result of 52.5, which was actually a two-year low. But we're still a little bit below the average of 2017 and 2018, but moving in a positive direction.
Yes, and I think that direction's going to continue. I'm looking at the things that we follow, of course, net farm income starting to tick up slightly. Saw soybeans kick up a little bit here this week. Housing starts are still strong. Single-family homes and now multifamily homes in different parts of the country are showing some positive signs. So a lot of optimism here in North America, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I mean, that's against the backdrop of, you know, we're recording this when the federal government is still shut down, which we could debate whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. And the poor performance of the stock market for the end of 2018. And as you mentioned, the trade results. So we've got, you know, everything's balanced out there, but I agree with you. I think things are still pretty positive overall. Are you worried about things like stock markets, federal government shutdown, et cetera?
No, not at all. The market makes adjustments and corrections on an ongoing basis. I think it's influenced by a lot of things around the globe today. And as we see, whether it be from a tweet or something happening out of Asia, that they'll go up and down with quite a bit within a day or within a 24-hour period. So I think it's you got to look at the underlying fundamentals to say, well, what makes sense and what doesn't. Interest rates are still reasonable. Workable, I think, within most businesses, and spendable income from most consumers is still very strong. There's more cash in a lot of people's pockets. Gasoline is low. That's helpful. And so I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic.
Yeah, the gasoline is definitely a I think maybe an underreported story right now, how low it is, and it puts more money into people's pockets, that's for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, on the six-month outlook results this month were pretty much the same as they were in the last FDI report, and they're coming in with 35% of the people expect higher numbers. 6 months from now, 48% expect the same, and only 16% are expecting lower results this time when we hit the midpoint of the summer. And I would guess you're saying you're in the 35% expecting higher numbers, or you're in the expecting the same?
Nope, higher numbers. Again, in the markets that we look at a lot, of course, ag production, demand for heavy equipment and technology is taking off significantly there. And again, the new housing starts, which means communities need to be developed, earth needs to be turned, roads need to be put in. I've seen a lot of that. Demand for cement, cement's another one to look at for the spring, and demand for cement is up as well. So I'm still pretty optimistic.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. And, you know, you guys are tracking this on a level-headed way as opposed to the overreaction. So that's good to hear. Now, let's move on to respondent commentary. People that participate in the survey sometimes put comments, and it looks like they were evenly split between people that are bullish and people who were on the bear side. And some of the comments that we had, I'll just go over a few of these here, and you can comment on them afterwards. We had one comment said, better sales than expected. Forecast for commodities is shaky. Net farm income as a big open issue. Business remains strong across most sectors, with automotive off slightly. Sales down in December, but I expect that to be a temporary situation. December down from November, but that's typical. This December 2018 versus 17 was up 21%. Open orders up 30%. We're expecting great things for 2019. Mixed signals out there. And then the last comment was, I think the first quarter will closely match last year, then down for each month the rest of the year. So a little bit of a mixed bag there. So maybe it depends on what industry you're in, or what do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. The automotive side of things, I think the next 10 years or so is going to be very interesting, given the fact that you've got some major players announcing that they're going to move to all electric.
Right.
And a big transition there. How is that going to be influenced by autonomous vehicles? You know, what does that mean for city vehicles and small cars? Don't know. We've got Ford Motor Company saying that they're going to discontinue a significant part of their line. That's a big transition. So I think the automotive side is a big
question mark
piece there. Yeah, big question mark. But the ag and construction side of it, I think globally, is going to be very, very positive. If we can get some stabilization at the government levels and geopolitical things can calm down a little bit, stabilize a little bit, I think you'll see a lot of people going to work and making things happen.
Do you hear much talk about electric vehicles or autonomous vehicles in the agricultural construction market? Is that not even happening?
Yep, there's. You can take a look in Google autonomous tractors and see what they look like. A friend of mine that makes seats for farm tractors, I told him, I said, that's discouraging for you. But other than that, you've got that technology coming in play now, today. Now, what does that mean? Where is it going to be used? How is it going to be applied? A lot of work to be done yet. But all the majors are exploring it and working hard at it.
Well, and you still need fasteners to hold everything together, regardless of electrical or autonomous or not.
Well, this is true.
So good. So overall, the numbers are down slightly, still above the 50-point line. Forward-looking indicators and six-month outlook are still positive. And you've added some data here that gets below the radar on the stock market and trade issues and things like that. So that's good to hear. So in closing up, wrapping up here, I mentioned earlier you're the vice president of the NFTA. Anything new going on at the NFTA?
Well, if you listen to the podcast from last month, Kelly mentioned, again, a big convention out on the West Coast, a joint conference in California in March. We're excited about that, looking for a great turnout there. That's always a good time. That's the biggest thing that we've got going right now. Other than that, constantly looking for new members, getting a lot of inquiries and a lot of interest. So, folks, if you're listening and you've been on the fence, now's the time to sign up and join. We'd love to have you as part of the group.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Kelly went into details on the conference, and this is the joint conference with the NFDA, PacWest, and the Midwest Fastener Association. So this is a kind of a unique setting and maybe a good time to jump in.
Yes, a very good time. It's a great venue for meeting a lot of people in the industry across the country, and it's a great place to do it as well.
Very good. And finally, can you tell us a little bit about your new role with the AgriSolutions Group within Trinity Logistics?
Sure. Trinity is now part of a larger group called AgriSolutions, predominantly companies in tillage and wear parts, soil management, if you will. And we bring in the distribution and system, the ERP system, into the group. And so we're expanding our role here in North America for wear parts, tillage, and related ag soil management products. My role is to bring together the sales teams within North America under one umbrella, one group, sales and customer service, get very focused on doing things, if you will, the same way in one ERP system, and creating greater customer satisfaction and better food for all of us.
Sounds good. Sounds like you're going to be busy this year.
Yeah, it's, I've got a lot going on, and so far I'm enjoying it.
That's good. Good. All right. Well, good luck with that, and good luck with the event out in California in March. And, you know, as usual, thanks for bringing your insight to the Fastener News Report, and specifically on the FDI.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate all you do.
That was Dan Zedner of the NFDA and the AgriSolutions Group. The FDI number for December was 56.5 versus 58.2 in November. Visit FDISurvey.com to participate in the process and get a detailed PDF copy of Baird's monthly analysis. Now for today's top story. Semblex Corporation has announced the upcoming retirement of Don Cunningham, who has been the company's president since 2010. Cunningham's retirement will be effective at the end of the first quarter of 2019, and he will continue as a member of the Semblex Board of Directors as well as a part-time advisor to the company. Jin-Soo Kim will succeed Cunningham as Semblex president. Kim has served as the COO since the company's acquisition by Jinhap Company in early 2014. Previously, Kim was senior vice president of Jinhap in South Korea. Simultaneously, Gene Simpson will assume the role of senior vice president and COO. Simpson is a 27-year veteran at Semblex Corporation, most recently serving as vice president of engineering and quality. Going forward, the quality, engineering, sales, marketing, and operations departments will all report to Simpson. Next up, today's Fastener Newsmaker headlines. In acquisition news, Edsco Fasteners has acquired Indiana Anchor Bolt. Endries International announced that MSD Partners LP and Endries Management have acquired Endries from Nautic Partners. Shamrock International has acquired all shares of Weber Industriali in Italy. Partsmaster, a division of NCH Corporation, has completed the acquisition of Centex Fittings and Fasteners. And Southern Carlson has purchased Cotter Construction Supply. In personnel news, Andrew Cole is the new plant manager at Acme Industrial Company, a subsidiary of Jergens. Brighton Best International has announced Deborah Mann as its new Director of Business Development. Ben Barone is the new Vice President of Finance at Components Company Incorporated. And the Worth Group has appointed Dr. Stefan Grubel as a new member of the Central Managing Board starting on April 1, 2019. In awards news, SFS received a Supplier Excellence Award from Bosch. K-Max was given a Quality Award from SAP. Francis Kirk in the UK won an International Trade Award. Bessard North America and Bessard Mexico both earned Supplier Awards from John Deere. And the Worth Group was honored for its commitment to disabled people with the UN Global Recognition Award. In trade show news, Reed Exhibitions is acquiring Mack Brooks Exhibitions, the producer of the Fastener Fair shows. Jessica Bowick, exhibition manager for Fastener Fair USA and Fastener Fair Mexico, will be on Fully Threaded Radio next month with Eric and Brian. You can get details on all of these stories and more in Fastener Technology International Magazine and the Fastener News Report newsletter, both available at fastenertech.com. Finally, let's turn to the back page to talk about bipartisan politics. While our two major political parties in the USA have jointly treated us to a partial shutdown of our massive federal government, the bipartisan pattern of spending vastly more money than is collected continues every day. It does not matter who is elected or which party controls the legislative or executive branches of government. The overspending just goes on and on and on. As Kevin Williamson of the National Review wrote in a recent column, quote, "This little shutdown is a blip. The debt crisis is an atomic bomb, and fiscal Armageddon is coming. In less than 20 years, around the year 2038, total spending on the federal government's current insurance entitlement trifecta of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, plus the interest payments on the trillions of racked-up debt, will exceed all of federal tax revenue. We often hear about the great political divide, but the truth is that our financial mess is the fruit of a dozen of years of modern-day bipartisan political madness. The U.S. Constitution says, and I quote, no money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law, unquote. Both parties pass and sign these spending laws. So I say the bipartisan political jig is up. We have a ticking financial time bomb that needs to be diffused with constitutional republic common sense and not any idiotic, uninformed, and divisive iterations of socialism, nationalism, communism, populism, or any other isms. This has been Mike McNulty of Fastener Technology International bringing you the Fastener News Report. Please send your news, pictures, comments, corrections, or complaints to me at McNulty@FastenerTech.com.
Steve Dunham of Sasco Fasteners is up next with a real wake-up call. Stick around, it's Fully Threaded.
At Brighton Best, we continue to expand our wide range of products, including stainless steel and metric fasteners. Our family of brands include Preferred, U.S. Anchor, and Ironclad Performance Wear. BBI has been a trusted partner since 1925. With award-winning hand tools, gloves, and drywall screws, BBI is the largest master distributor of fasteners in the USA. Tested, tried, and true. We are Brighton Best. To learn more about Brighton Best, visit brightonbest.com.
ND Industries has been solving customers' toughest problems through innovative technologies, competitive pricing, and industry-leading service since 1955. A family-owned business, ND Industries manufactures and applies fastener locking, bonding, sealing, masking, and assembling products. Their pre-application process makes fasteners ready to use at the point of assembly, resulting in reduced labor costs, time savings, and superior quality assurance. As a fully integrated company, ND handles all aspects of operations from formulating custom chemical compounds and coating fasteners to providing inline inspection, packaging, and delivery services. ND Industry serves the global market with 13 divisions in the continental U.S. and also facilities in Taiwan, China, and Turkey. Learn more about ND Industries at our website at www.ndindustries.com. ND Industries, innovative technologies, competitive pricing, and industry-leading service. Contact ND today.
BTM Manufacturing is a domestic ISO 9001 manufacturer of threaded fasteners and bent wire products. From anchor bolts to studs to U-bolts, BTM is committed to making your per print special with the highest quality standards while meeting your on-time delivery schedule. Since BTM began in 1961, this family-owned business has remained focused on providing exceptional service to their customers. Centrally located in Kansas City, Missouri, BTM recently expanded into a 100,000-square-foot facility, which allows for the production and manufacture of many projects simultaneously, both large and small quantity. BTM's website at btm-mfg.com allows you to submit custom quotes quickly and easily, and once you do, a BTM team member will contact you as soon as possible to discuss your needs. Are you ready to get started? BTM is. Visit www.btm-mfg.com today.
Well, hello everyone. This is Carmen Vertulo with the Fastener Training Minute coming to you from the Fastener Training Institute and AIM Testing Laboratories in beautiful El Cajon, California. I recently received some information regarding another bridge bolt problem, this time in New York City on the Mario Cuomo Bridge. And it's not the same kind of situation exactly that we had on the Bay Bridge, but it does present a good opportunity for helping us as bolt suppliers to better understand how structural bolting works and what are some of the things that we need to be concerned about when we sell structural bolting. So when we return, I'm going to ask a few questions. I don't have all the answers, but on a future program, we'll explore it more deeply. But because this bridge situation presents such a good opportunity for training, we're going to ask those questions. We'll be back in a minute.
It's time to see what training opportunities are available coming up from the Fastener Training Institute. Let's take a look. On January 25th, there's a webinar, Self-Drilling Screws, the Most Amazing Multifunction Fasteners Ever Invented. Learn all about self-drilling screws from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's January 25th webinar. Then, on February 19th, in Costa Mesa, California, it's Product Training Part 1. Now, this is a two-part class. The second part will take place a month later, March 19th, also in Costa Mesa. And everybody knows by now that the Certified Fastener Professional credential goes a long way in the fastener industry. Your chance to earn yours is happening in Cleveland, April 1st through the 5th at Fastener Training Week. That's happening at the IFI headquarters in Independence, Ohio, actually. Don't miss your chance, or if there's someone on your staff, get them registered today. All the details on these courses and more can be found at the Fastener Training Institute website. That's fastenertraining.org. Now, it's back to Carmen for the Fastener Training Minute.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Carmen Vertula returning with the Fastener Training Minute. Today, we're going to ask a few questions about the recent, and I hesitate to call it this, but I guess at this point it's a scandal, with the bolting used in the Mario Cuomo Bridge in New York City. Now, the issue has to do with some A490 structural bolts, about a million of them that were used to assemble this bridge, and some small number of that million, described as a few dozen, maybe 60, were broken during the installation or sometime after. Now, the problem isn't so much that we have some broken bolts. It's that there apparently was a cover-up. Now, I'm not here to speak about the cover-up. I'm here to speak about some of the technical aspects of why these bolts may have broken and why certain questions that apparently were not asked during the reporting, they may have been asked during the investigation, but not during the reporting, were not asked, and how it can inform us as suppliers and bolting experts about how structural bolts work and what are the, some of the things that we should and should not be doing when we use them. Well, the first thing to ask if we had some bolts that were breaking during installation is what exactly was the installation procedure? Was there a pre-installation verification test that ensured before they took the bolts up into the steel that they were able to achieve the proper tension without breaking down on the ground? And that's typically done with a pre-installation verification test in a small instrument called a Skidmore Wilhelm bolt tension calibrator. We don't know if that was done or not. Probably it was. The next question to ask is, was anything done to the bolts that may have affected their ability to achieve tension or possibly caused them to have more tension than they should have had with the correct installation procedure? Now, some things that could affect that, the main thing that could affect that is the coating. Anecdotal information thus far indicates that these bolts had a coating on them, probably a dip spin aluminum zinc rich coating, Geomet or Magni or Dacromet or something like that. However, some other information indicates that some of these bolts may have been hot dip galvanized. That's one of the reasons why hydrogen embrittlement was raised as an issue. Now, we should never hot dip galvanize A490 structural bolts. So one of our questions is, of course, were these bolts hot dip galvanized, some of them, or not? If they were hot dip galvanized, that brings up two issues. One is, was a rotational capacity test performed on them to ensure that they could be properly tightened and not necessarily over tightened or broken during installation? And number two, were they able to achieve the proper tension with whatever the installation procedure that was prescribed was? So these are questions that we need to answer. If we look at some of the photographs, it's kind of hard to tell whether or not the bolts are coated with a dip spin coating or a hot dip galvanized coating. However, it is clear that we can tell simply by holding the bolts in our hands, if you're used to looking at both of these coatings, whether or not they are hot dip galvanized or dip spin coated. A dip spin coating is like a paint. You can pretty much scrape it off with a penknife. Hot dip galvanized, not so much. So that would be a big question to ask. And if it turns out some of the bolts were hot dip galvanized, which ones and how many? The reporting indicates that most of the broken bolts, even though they do have some of them, most of the broken bolts ended up in the bottom of the river. So maybe we ought to maybe dredge that river with a magnet and pick some of those up. I doubt they would send any divers down there to get them, but they probably could retrieve some. And then secondly, we could simply inspect the bridge. Now, according to the report, the bridge has been inspected. The bolts have been tested by multiple entities. No serious irregularities were found. I happen to believe, based on the information I've seen so far, the bridge is perfectly safe. This is more of a, for lack of a better word, scandalous corruption issue than it is a technical issue. In the meanwhile, though, as more information comes to light, we should examine this and find out what else we can learn about how these bolts were installed, how they were coated, whether or not the investigation that determined that they were safe was properly done. And as that comes to light, we'll return to another fully threaded radio segment and let you know what we find out. Well, I hope you learned a few things about structural bolting. This has been Carmen Vertullo with the Fastener Training Minute. Thank you for listening.
This is Tracy Lumia of Distributors Link Magazine, the number one publication in the fastener industry. You're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Hey, Bri, you still read the Chicago Tribune?
Well, actually every morning, in its paper form.
Yeah. What is it, like 6 pages long these days?
No. No, it's going to be much shorter now after the problem with the bears, okay, but it's usually like 100 pages about the bears and, you know, 1 page of world news.
Yeah, so-called news. Yeah, it used to be a great paper. Hey, everybody, Brian and Eric back with you. It came to mind because we have a guest coming up now to discuss ransomware with us and, of course, splashed across the headlines today, not the paper ones, by the way, Bri.
Yeah.
The Chicago Tribune and its affiliate papers were hacked by, I guess, a really wicked ransomware over the weekend, and it's all over the news.
Right, yeah, and it's affected quite a bit of the paper. Not the main news stories, it's affected all of the advertisements and the obituaries, actually.
Well, in addition to those, the fastener industry is not immune, and a lot of smart people, including esteemed consulting companies like Gartner Group, are still putting ransomware in their top of security risks for the IT outlook in 2019. I had a chance to meet up with friend of the podcast for a long time, Steve Dunham from Sasco out there in Medford, Oregon. Hey, Steve, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you. Hi.
And we're hoping it's a better new year, better year than 2018 for us.
Well, yeah, IT-wise, I agree.
IT-wise,
It was really rough. I mean, I kind of gave a little teaser there, ran into you at the PAC West last year in Scottsdale, and there was a presentation about security, and you came up to me during one of the breaks, and oh my God, you had a tale of woe.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. Not something I want to revisit, I'll tell you that. But I've got stories to tell, and I don't know that I have any solutions to it, but I do have stories to tell.
Well, we wanted to get you on the podcast. Hey, for folks who don't remember the last time you were on, bring everyone up to speed. What's Sasco all about, and what's your main emphasis out there in Medford?
Well, for those of you that don't know where Medford is, we're in southern Oregon, we're the bottom part of the state. You know, we're a commercial supply house, supplying OEMs, MROs, general construction sites. So, you know, when you're in a small market like this, you kind of sell anybody and everybody. So we kind of cover all of, which is a pretty rural area, but all of southern Oregon and extreme northern California. Our basic trade area is primarily just commercial construction fasteners and supplies and industrial supplies in southern Oregon, taking care of mills, manufacturing plants, job sites, and the like.
Right. So you've got a lot of business over the counter, and you're servicing a lot of the trucks as they're heading out into the field, and that's your bread and butter. So, but you're not immune to cyber warfare, are you?
No, not at all. Apparently not.
Shouldn't have half, yeah.
All right. So with that set up, what happened on day one? You walk into the office, set it up for us, Steve.
What really, here's how the whole thing started. The typical Monday morning for me, get up at about 5:15, 5:30, go fix a cup of coffee at home, turn on my phone, and typically turn on my phone, I'll get maybe a dozen, 20 some odd emails from Sunday night, half of which are probably FCH inquiries.
Nice. You
know, these are things I need to look. Do I have these things or do I not have these things? And weed through those and weed through the rest of the emails. And I turned on my phone. I got no email. And I thought, well, that's a little odd. I mean, my phone's not working. So fine, fixed my coffee, sat down in my chair, went to my iPad, turned the iPad on, still no email. And I had internet connection at home. So, okay. So I went and dialed into my server from home, and I still couldn't get in. So I thought, okay, you know, we're in somewhat of a rural area. We do have power outages. Probably the power went out to the, you know, in the building, and the server's down, or went down, came back up. You know, server had powered itself down. So probably better to just shower, shave, and get into the shop maybe a half hour early so I can power up the server.
You were hoping for the proverbial little fix-itself solution, in essence, right?
Yes. So I come in early, about 7 o'clock, and get into the server, try to power it up, and it doesn't want to power up. And I don't normally do that. You know, we had a new IT company, and or you know, we'd had this IT company for maybe a year, year and a half, and it was not something I normally did. So I thought, well, maybe I don't have the right login. So they're a local company. I called them up and they said, hey, I'm having a problem with logging into my server. Can you help me? And they said, well, sure. Let's see what we can do. And so I can hear him clicking around on the phone. He's like, I'm having a problem too. I said, well, that's not good. If you can't do it and I can't do it, he said, tell you what, we'll be there in 10 minutes. And boom, they were here before we opened at 7:30 in the morning. Took my server and said, we're going to take it to our shop and into the clean room. We're going to open it up, see what we can find here. Well, okay, fine, but now I'm out of business.
Right.
We are dead in the water. So we just started going back to the old-fashioned way and writing stuff down. People would come in, customers would come in the door, and we'd say, I'm sorry, our server's down. If you want something and you have an account, I can't give you a receipt other than a handwritten receipt. We went back. Fortunately, I had kept our old FastPak three-part forms, and we started writing up orders for customers that were phoning in orders or walking in. We would just handwrite them on a pad or on a three-part carbonless form that we had kept from the old days, and told customers, "Listen, if you want a price packing slip, I can't help you." Because I have no idea, frankly. I just don't know.
I think some of our younger listeners are probably lost. What is this carbon paper of which you speak, Steve?
Yeah, right.
It's from the way, way old days. And I go back even before the way, way old days when we used to actually not even have real carbon paper. We were handwriting invoices. Didn't even come out of a computer printer. But anyway, yeah. we basically hand wrote these things. And if we had cash customers come in, we were just like, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I had one guy come in and said, hey, I've got to have this. I need like 210 by 3/4 self-drilling screws. I need them like now. Nobody in town's got them. Well, there's a dozen other places in town that have them, but crap, I've got them here on the shelf. He goes, you know, I just need 200 of them. I'm good. Will this 20 handle it? Yeah, I think that $20 bill will more than handle it. So he says, I'm happy if you're happy. And he's out the door, a happy customer, and I got 20 bucks in my hand. And like, well, okay, write it down on a piece of paper that he took these. And we'll figure out what we're going to do once we get our system back up. And by the end of the day, my IT company had gotten back to me and they said, here's here's what we've got. You've got a ransom note. We don't know what the ransom is for. We highly recommend against you going any further with this, because you could get some of your information back, all of your information back, or none of your information back. So what?
Now, Steve, let's get a little bit into this diagnosis. First of all, how long did it take your IT guys to actually come back with that diagnosis?
They came back to me in a few hours, I would say by lunchtime. So let's say 3-4 hours.
Okay, so on that Monday morning, the bulk of your business was done by paper in kind of a haphazard way, in a very haphazard way.
Yeah,
and you did the best you could.
Right, we just did the best.
Then you got the message that this is what you're facing. And what, pray tell, was the amount of the ransom that they were asking?
We didn't go that far. We didn't even ask. In retrospect, maybe I should have. But they said it doesn't make any difference what it is, because we don't know how much you could get back if you get anything back. Let's see if we can decode this problem here and break the coding that they had put in there. And what ultimately had transpired is that, you know, of course, like most businesses, we're doing our backups. In fact, we were doing what I thought was maybe a redundant backup. I remember talking with my IT people, and they had suggested that I do hourly backups. And I thought, why in the hell am I doing this hourly? You know, this seems like rather redundant. And I asked, I brought that up to them, and they said, well, it is redundant until you need it. Well, that's fine. And we were doing these backups. But as I got to speak with my IT people after we had gone through this whole thing and trying to ferret out, you know, how it happened, what to do about it, so on and so forth, they said, basically, here's what's happened. Is it, yes, you were doing backups. Everything was proper. You have all of the firewalls, and you have the most up-to-date of this and that and the other. But what's happened is somebody put a time bomb in your system. It got backed up into your backup, which got backed up into the IT company's backup. The time bomb went off. Consequently, we lost data from the end of January 2018 to the first week of March. So all of February was shot, was gone, deleted, encrypted, I guess is the word.
And this happened last March, is what you're saying.
This happened in March, yeah. So we lost basically 6 weeks worth of data. And then, of course, we had... Yeah, we lost 6 weeks worth of data plus handwritten tickets. We didn't lose those. Clearly, we had record of those. We were just keeping daily records of them. Well, we couldn't send invoices out. In the meantime, we had sent, all of February, we had sent invoices to customers. We're getting checks from customers saying, hey, we're paying this invoice and that invoice, and here's a list of invoices that this check covers. Those invoices are not in our system. So we're having to call our customers and go, thank you for your check. Could you please send me a copy of these invoices? Because we've been ransomwared and that data is gone. And I got to tell you that the vast majority of our customers were like, oh man, you guys, this is awful. What can I do to help? Well, here's what you can do to help. You can send me all invoices that we've sent you, let's just say since the beginning of the year, because we don't know at this point how much we've lost. And fortunately, our email wasn't affected. So other than I couldn't go back into our old emails to retrieve emailed invoices. And of course, with most systems, you can either snail mail invoices, fax invoices, which we still do, yeah, or email invoices. Or in some cases, you hand an invoice to Joe that's at the front counter and say, here's your invoice. That's what some companies want. Give it to Joe when he comes in, and it's his job to turn it in to get paid.
So how long did you have to operate like it was 1997?
We ran for a week and a half until we got our server back with the data in there. And that way we could tell. That was the first thing I did was, once we got our server back in, hooked it back up, I went in and said, okay, when's the last date of a sale? And it was end of January 2018.
Right. So you lost all the way from that point in January all the way up until in early March when this hit you.
Right. Yep.
Wow.
6 weeks.
Whole month. This is all your commercial. This is everything that runs your company. All your receipts of fasteners and sales and everything.
Yep. Quotes. Everything that was in there. Although, yeah, quotes. Anything that transpired through those dates. So the first thing we did, of course, the easiest thing to do was to go in and, you know, the bills had been paid. We had printed out, although we are quote-unquote paperless, we still, for whatever reason, just because we're old dogs, print out purchase orders for our own records. So we had those, and we, of course, matched those up with vendor invoices, and vendors were getting paid. But we had to go in and recreate purchase orders.
Yep.
And then go in and basically show that, okay, that invoice was paid with check number so-and-so. So that part of it was the relatively easy part to do. The difficult, more difficult part to do was the recreation of customer invoices. And our stock on hand numbers were all screwed up. So we just said, okay, guys and girls, when customers call and say, hey, do you have whatever, we better get off our fannies and go out in the warehouse and check. So that was we went through recreating the purchase orders, recreated, you know, checks to pay off the purchase orders, and that was the easy part. Inventory, now our book inventories through the roof because we're showing stuff that we've got on hand that we really don't. Then I had to go through day to day as we got customers' invoices. We had to come in and re-enter customer invoices as they sent them to us so that we could enter in invoices so that we could post a check to pay off those invoices that were open.
Right. It's a disaster, unmitigated, and you've convinced us of that. Nobody wants this to happen to them. And
nobody,
I guess,
does.
You never did determine the amount of the ransom that they were asking, which I don't understand that exactly. But do you know how they were wanting to be, how they were asking to be paid? Was it Bitcoin
they
or something like that, a crypto?
Yes, it was. It was all cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. Yep.
And so your IT guys advised you not even to consider paying. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Yep. They said, there's no guarantee that you'll get anything back. You may get something back or you may get nothing back.
Yeah.
And you've already paid the whatever the ransom is. So there's no guarantee that there's no guarantee this wouldn't happen again.
Right. I scanned through a few articles related to this in anticipation of our conversation, and there's information all across the board. It seems like 35% of attacks being paid through ransom is kind of a number that I could believe that is referenced here and there. But it doesn't say how many of those payoffs result in the data, because I know I've heard and I've read that a lot of times the payment is made and you still don't get the data. So your guys apparently advise you against trying it. And that's what you did. So it still cost you something.
It cost me a ton of time. It cost my IT company a ton of time and dollars. It cost my wife and I were the ones that basically paid the time price. We were the ones that were in here after hours, because that's really when you can do this, is start entering in invoices,
right,
customer invoices after hours, so that you're duplicating an invoice, you know, a sales order number that relates to an invoice order number, so that everything goes together. So when a customer sends you a check that says, I'm paying these five invoices, you can much easier apply that payment to those five invoices if they're listed as the right invoices.
Yeah, I mean, about 3 years ago, Eric and I went to a talk about corporate security. It was in Chicago here. And they addressed this ransomware, and one of the people, actually two of the people in the talk, had suffered from ransomware. One of them was a local police department, and they just turned up and found that the system was dead, and they, in fact, opted to pay the Bitcoin, probably because it wasn't their money. It was all our money, okay? Yeah, different thing. Though we don't know whether they actually got what they got for that. It just was all sort of hidden. But the more interesting thing was there wasn't the room. Yeah, you know, there were, I don't know, 40 of us there. And probably on those group, probably three or four people all had been hacked.
I was really surprised the police department admitted in public that they paid it. I was shocked by that.
Yeah, right. And Eric, you and I were at that meeting that we were at there in Scottsdale last spring. when we had that speaker speak to us on cybersecurity, he asked the question, how many of you in this room have been attacked with ransomware? And I was shocked realizing, okay, this is a PacWest Fastener Association meeting. So this is fastener distributors from the West Coast, a pretty limited amount of people, you know, scope-wise. And like five hands went up. And I remember thinking to myself, holy mackerel, there's five of us in this room that have gone through the same thing I've gone through. And I remember that fellow saying, okay, that's not surprising, but there will be another 15 to 18 of you by 2019 that will raise your hand the next time I ask that question. And I was amazed at that.
Right. And at this point, I'd like to point out, Steve, that I really do appreciate you coming on to tell this story on the podcast, because look, you get hit like this, nobody really wants to go shouting it from the rooftops, right? Because it's not pretty. But I think you're doing a great service to your fellow fastener distributors, because hey, we're trying to raise awareness, and it can happen. It can happen to small businesses like yours, and it can happen to large ones like the Chicago Tribune, who, they're a newspaper, but they're screwed up, so there's a connection. Anyway, they got hit. And it's just something that's not going away, even though a lot of experts say that over time, they expect the attacks to reduce because a lot more companies are prepared. But hey, man, there's hundreds of them out there that are still vulnerable.
Oh, yeah. In fact, there's a story in the latest Wired magazine, and it relates to the biggest shipping company in the world. It's a Danish one, I think, MAES, okay, Maersk. And they were hacked. Their servers were hacked, and it was a disaster for them, and they lost access to everything. So even what was in the containers on their ships, and they found in all their servers, the same thing. They had automatic backups, and so everything got corrupted. And the hacking was done out of somewhere in East, I guess what was once the Russian states. But they found a single server in Nigeria that had the telephone lines had been cut into it, and it was the only copy in the world of their system that was not infected.
Yeah, well, leave it to Wired to come up with a really dramatic example like that. And
I mean, this is a disaster. Terrible.
Well, and our ransom note was very oddly worded, so it was clear that it was put together with broken English. So we never did figure out from whence it came. It really didn't make any difference. I know that when it happened, my first thought was, what the hell are they going to take from me? I mean, it's not like I've got super sensitive information. I don't think that really anybody really cares what the local general contractor's buying to build the bank around the corner. This is not state secret here. So really, the purpose of this was really just to hit me up for some money.
Right, just to shake you down for nothing other than that.
Fortunately, and this is a nod to the folks at InSQL, they had prepared somewhat for this, because we run the InSQL software server for our business. They had gone to a credit card server called Payware. So in foresight of this, Bob Reynolds had realized that, hey, we don't want customers' credit card numbers living within our system. So customer credit card numbers weren't affected with this. That's kept on a completely different server that has nothing to do with our system. So fortunately for us, and for InSQL as well, that none of the credit card information was lost.
Yep.
What did your IT support provider explain to you in terms of their best guess and how this attack happened? How did they infiltrate your network?
They said basically there's two ways that they can get in. Either somebody going to a website that they shouldn't have gone to, or somebody opening up an email that they shouldn't have opened up. Now, as far as using websites, all of our workstations are clearly, they're internet enabled, and that could have happened, but we've got a pretty straight crew here, and nobody's surfing the web for Lord knows what. So I kind of ruled that out. And since, frankly, I get probably 60 to 70% of the company emails, they come to me, it very easily could have been me opening up an email that maybe I shouldn't have opened, or an attachment I shouldn't have opened. one of the things that, I'm not a techie guy. I've been in the bolt business for pushing 40 years. So I think most of the fastener people are like me. They know nuts and bolts and screws. They're not really all that savvy on techie issues. So I happened to ask the fellow that was doing the seminar there in Scottsdale at the PacWest meeting. I said, so if I have an employee that opens up his email, that's a Gmail account or a Hotmail account or whatever, and there's something fishy in there, I said, is that going to affect my network? And I was assured, yes, if he opens it up on your network is infected, if that attachment is infected. And I think more and more, I've noticed more and more and more, I'm getting those strange emails. I just got one over here 2 hours before we started this conversation from somebody saying, you know, please open the attachment. We're making an ACH payment, and we have the payment notification attached here. And I'm looking at the name. I'm going, I don't recognize that customer. It was for somebody in Sacramento. And I thought, okay, with all the mergers and acquisitions that are going on, not only, you know, in our industry, but clearly with our customers as well, especially here at the beginning of the year, we've got, you know, we're getting notifications, well, this customer's been bought out by this customer, this customer has now closed his doors, and somebody else has taken him over, and a lot of that stuff going on. I thought, okay, I don't know who this company is. So the thing kind of stunk. You know, you get to the point where you kind of smell these things.
So what did you do?
You know, I forwarded to my wife because she takes care of that. I said, you know, maybe she knows who this company is. I don't recognize the name. So it was strange. I forwarded to her. She comes in later than I do. So she walked in. I said, hey, I forwarded you this email. It's got an attachment from a company that I don't know who it is. It's apparently is paying a bill with an ACH payment, and there's an attachment on it. And I happened to look at the attachment, and all of a sudden it had changed from a Excel spreadsheet attachment to a PDF attachment. And it said something about warning on the PDF attachment that it didn't say on the attachment that had an Excel attached to it. So I thought, okay, I'm going to Google this company's name. You know, Googled the phone number, and it's like, okay, it's a phone number in Sacramento, and it's a rehab center.
Right. Yeah. Well, it obviously looks like you were looking at a hack, Steve. So yeah, you caught it, and good for you, because as they pointed out during that presentation there in Scottsdale, a lot of this, you know, the fastener industry is notoriously low tech. Well, there are low tech ways of purveying these hacks. And one of them is any number of these social engineering hacks. So you caught it, and then it was morphing into its high tech payload, and you got it. So good for you. We all have to be on our toes. Now, fortunately, you pointed this out when we were doing our pre-talk, Steve. PacWest is presenting a seminar on this very subject coming up on January 23rd. You going to catch that?
I am going to do my best for PacWest members. I know that that's going to be archived. I don't know how long this thing is going to last. It's on a Wednesday, and I have a set lunch date on Wednesday, so I may not be able to do the whole thing. But I know that for PacWest members, it is going to be archived, and I can watch it on demand. Won't be able to ask questions directly on the for the webinar, but I can always call the company and ask questions. So definitely, I will participate in that in some fashion.
Anybody in the audience who is listening to this before January 23rd, you can get out to pac-west.org, and there's a link right out there on the event calendar. And the webinar is no charge for PacWest members and only $39 for non-members. WTCIT Services is geared towards the fastener industry, so they know how to handle your questions specific to your business. So if you're listening and you're curious about this or worried based on Steve's story, don't hesitate. And as you said, Steve, PacWest is very proactively archiving these things for on-demand access later.
No, I think that's great, and I would say that $39 would be $39 well spent. I can't tell you how many late nights. Unfortunately, I don't live that far from my office here, so we could shut down our regular business days, go home, I could have a quick dinner, and then come back here, and I'd be here till 9 or 10 o'clock in the evening, entering in invoices by the day. Just dung, dung, dung. It was. very rote.
Right, but you actually have other things to do.
It affect my concentration on my golf game. And it meant I couldn't do my set of fishing.
No, it's just a mess all around. I mean, and anyone is susceptible. Anyone who's actually got a computer.
You're vulnerable.
You know, is vulnerable two ways. One is receiving an email that's going to hack you, or someone, you know, trying to hack into your main server.
Yeah, that's a whole other can of worms. And, well, cybersecurity is something that we all have to be aware of in this business and every other business out there in 2019. So happy new year. Nothing changes there. You know, we mentioned in SQL Software during the conversation, our great longtime friends and partners. And we just want to stress at this point in the conversation that none of the vulnerabilities that led to this disaster for you had to do with InSQL. And we had an opportunity to work with you many years ago now, Steve, when Bob Reynolds and Tom White over there at WTC, I believe at the time, they were working on the InSQL Direct Connect system. Are you still, I'm sure you're using that program all the time.
We use it daily. It's just a very powerful tool.
For folks not familiar with the InSQL Direct Connect system, what does it do for you, Steve?
Well, it'll allow me to connect with, at this point, at the time it was Porteus's inventory, now it's Brighton Best inventory, as well as Stealthfast. I believe Bay Standard's hooked in there now. Metric and Multistandard is hooked in there. Beacon Fasteners is hooked into it. So they're adding more and more to the list. But it's great for me because if a customer calls and says, hey, you know, here's what I'm looking for, and, you know, how many do you have? I need X amount of, say, 3/4 by 5 plain machine bolts. Well, I've got, you know, I may have 120 on the shelf and he needs 500. How quickly do you need 500? Well, I need them in a couple of days, which is typical because these guys don't tend to plan. I can look on that Direct Connect and say, well, this branch has this many. I can get them to you in so many days, and here's your price. Boom, it's handled. And so it's a great tool, gigantic help for us.
Lots of functionality in InSQL Software, and we haven't even begun to discuss the many features that connect with the FCH sourcing network, which is also pretty cool, we think.
And that's connected in with it too, so that's a big help as well.
Well, thanks for describing all of that. And thank you once again for telling us all about this horrifying experience that you had with ransomware. And it's, again, something that not a lot of people would bring up in the podcast format, but you did for the benefit of the Fastener community. So thank you, Steve Dunham of Sasco.
You're real welcome. And all I can say is make sure your firewalls are up to date and you've got the best security out there. Work with whatever IT company you've got and just be diligent. And if something looks wrong, it may be wrong, and forward that email off to somebody that may know something more than you might.
Like Cheryl.
Like Cheryl, yeah. So you can pass it off.
Yeah, or just
now, would you also suggest that people stock up on carbon paper?
Yes. Don't throw out the little fast pack forms.
Right. But in general, do not open attachments if you can.
If it looks strange, it probably is strange. And with our IT company, they've just said, hey, if it's just a common rule, if it looks funky, send it over to us and then we'll dissect it. Let us open it and then we'll tell you, you know, within 10 minutes, whether that's a good email or a bad email.
And why don't you just give out Cheryl's email address real quick in case the audience wants to send theirs in.
But she's not opening, do that? She's not opening up emails from you, though, Eric. You're on her junk list. Brian can send anything he wants, but Eric.
Well, we'll have to get into that during the next PacWest meeting, and I think we will.
Well, I'm sure we will.
Okay, Steve. Well, thanks again. Hey, everybody, keep your eyes open and don't send anything to Cheryl. I was just kidding. We'll be back with more Fully Threaded Radio in just a minute. Hang in there.
Talk radio for the fastener industry. It's not really all that bad for the most part. Brian and Eric, Fully Threaded Radio.
When
When top quality and outstanding service are at the top of your list in fastener suppliers, turn to Stelfast. Since 1976, Stelfast has grown to become an industry-leading importer and manufacturer of the highest quality industrial fasteners, specialty items, and automotive parts. Our array of facilities across North America and in Asia, along with full quality control labs and ISO 9001-2008 certifications, ensure the highest quality parts, and at Stelfast, they're delivered with undisputed service excellence. We're family-run and dedicated to your success. Our customers have come to depend on the expertise of our staff and the quality of our products. We also offer a wide range of secondary services to meet some of the toughest requirements you might have. Contact Stelfast today through our website at www.stelfast.com and put us to work for you. Stelfast. Service you deserve. People you trust. Hey, fastener professionals. One of the most anticipated events in the fastener industry is just around the corner. Make plans today to attend Mack Brooks Fastener Fair USA, which takes place in Detroit May 22nd and 23rd, 2019. Over 300 companies from around the world will exhibit at Fastener Fair USA in 2019, showcasing the latest solutions for key industries like automotive, aerospace, construction, power gen, MRO, and more. In addition to exhibits during two full days on the show floor, you'll find plenty of topical information and technical and distribution conference sessions and networking events, such as the opening night reception. No matter where you fall in the supply chain, Fastener Fair USA is your opportunity to join more than 2,000 manufacturers, suppliers, distributors, and end users in the heart of the Midwest at Detroit's Cobo Center, May 22nd and 23rd, 2019. For more information and to register today, go to www.fastenerfair.com/USA. See you at Mack Brooks Fastener Fair USA.
Parker Fasteners is your premier cold-heading manufacturer, forging the future with precision and quality as our top priority. When you think of domestically produced sockets and tamper-proof screws from alloy and stainless, including A286, think Parker Fasteners. Our lockout line of security fasteners feature high-torque, oval center pin design, and unique lobes that provide one-of-a-kind security for your customers. Our in-house 3D printing capability makes the prototyping process fast and affordable, and we're ready to produce your large or small run orders with highly competitive pricing and unbeatable lead times. So, forge the future with Parker Fasteners. Visit Parker Fasteners online today at parkerfasteners.com.
This is George Hunt III from Brighton Best International, and you're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
You know, Bright, one thing that surprises me about Steve's story is that there was no ransom demand made, or at least his IT guys didn't tell him the amount of the ransom they were demanding.
Right, but there must have been, okay? I mean, that's just so much the modus operandi of this whole idea of trying to screw people. They all want money for it.
Exactly. I mean, that really, I didn't bring it up during the conversation, but it really hit home because I have been getting for months and months, at least two or three times a week, this one particular email. I presume it's from the same character or outfit, and they're threatening to, they're blackmailing basically about a bunch of false stuff. And so, you know, it doesn't bother me, but it says right there, transfer the amount of $710 to my Bitcoin address. And it's got his Bitcoin wallet ID there. And they're basically saying pay within 48 hours or the payload hits, which fortunately it never does. But I mean, it's right there, $710.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure most people have. And I have too. Probably a different organization. And frequently it really results to, you know, I guess the fact that especially if you've been on the web for 15 to 20 years, I mean, some of the places we used to sign up for have, you know, I guess been breached years ago, but that's just the way it was. And so there's, you know, sets of email addresses float around the web and people, you know, pay $10 for 1,000 email addresses. And that's how these people work. Sometimes they have a password that goes with them, not always, but they can pretend that they do. But people can pretend they're using your email address, and that's how all this stuff works.
Right. That's what this guy's doing. He's spoofing my address, and he's using an ancient password from God knows where it came from, and it's obviously bunk. But I could see how a lot of people might fall for it if they didn't have a little bit of an IT background, which you certainly do, and I pretend to.
I used to. But you're right. It's a fairly ominous. I mean, the whole idea of this is based on the fact that you've got a, you know, like most laptops, there's a camera on it. Well, everyone who's using a laptop in this industry by now, I hope, has covered it up with tape, okay? Because you can have your laptop taken over and corrupted. But all these messages are based on the fact that you've been sitting there and the camera is uncovered.
Right.
And it's a threat, okay? It's an absolute threat. But it sort of is using, it pretends that they've hacked your email. Well, of course they haven't. What they've done is they've just sent an email to you pretending that they have and demanding money, usually Bitcoin. I guess sometimes it's US dollars. But it's threatening enough to make you at least look at it, okay?
Fortunately, Steve has Cheryl.
Yeah, so he can test the stuff out. Right.
And fortunately, he was good enough to join us on the podcast so that hopefully somebody out there hearing this will not fall for one of these schemes. Steve Dunham of Sasco Fasteners. Also joining us on the podcast today, Craig Penland from Eurolink Fastener Supply Service. Mike McNulty welcomed Dan Zender with Trinity Logistics onto the podcast today. They reviewed the FDI numbers. Good to see that the forward-looking index, at least, is still strong, Bri.
Yeah, I know. So it's sort of interesting, actually. Some of it doesn't make much sense to me when people are thinking, well, it's less positive now, but it's going to be more positive in the future.
Right. I mean, well, we'll take what we can get.
Yeah.
And, of course, Carmen Vertulo had the Fastener Training Minute. Thanks once again, Carm. The title sponsors of Fully Threaded Radio are Stealthfast. For service you deserve and people you trust, it's still Stealthfast. And welcome to the team, Brighton Best International. Brighton Best. Tried, tested, true. Fully Threaded is also sponsored by Buckeye Fasteners, BTM Manufacturing, Eurolink Fastener Supply Service, Fastener Technology International, InSQL Software, Mac Brooks Fastener Fair USA, ND Industries, Parker Fasteners, The Worth Group, Volt Industrial Plastics, and Solution Industries, home of Solution Man. Once again, everyone, please let us know what you think of the podcast or if you have comments or ideas for us. The email, ftr@fullythreaded.com, and we chatter out there on Twitter occasionally. The handle is Fully Threaded. Well, Bri, I have to tell you, I really struggled with the theme on today's podcast. But I mean, there are ideas that I have, of course, but they just didn't seem all that uplifting. You know, I mean, the way to launch the year didn't seem to be cyber warfare or government meddling or something like that, you know? So I hesitated to tie it all together that way.
Yeah, I know it's true. But if you sort of deal with what Craig hinted at, you know, he's one of the things hiding behind that is the possibility the government, especially the new Democrat House, is going to try and meddle in the whole tax system that has definitely been a boost to industry in the US. Mike McNulty is railing on the government's inability to deal with anything relating to this terrible deficit spending, which we were hoping was going to go away.
No end in sight.
Yeah, no end in sight. And Carm's dealing with the fact that there's, you know, even in local government, there's corruption possibly or most likely. So we're dealing with all these negative influences. However, I want to say something different, okay?
Go ahead.
There is, from 2 weeks ago, there's a great example of how our dysfunctional government can produce amazing things. And it relates to the New Horizon spacecraft that did a bit of a circuit around Pluto, was sent out to Pluto to take amazing pictures of Pluto that basically have never been able to be taken before, and then slingshotted off towards this tiny little bit of rock out in the middle of nowhere, this asteroid, and it had to do, you know, such complex gyrations to get billions of miles away and get to within whatever it was, I don't know how many thousand kilometers they got of this asteroid, But to be in the same point of space at the same time after 5 years is just a staggering feat. So even though you get disappointed in government occasionally, some branches can still do staggeringly amazing things.
That's a great point and a very inspirational story. Thanks for the palate cleanser. I don't know how I'm going to fit that into the theme either, but at least, you know, I feel a little hopeful now.
Oh, it has to do with launching. Remember, it was launched years ago.
Launching. Ah, so we're launching the first episode of the new podcast season, and we're also launching. I got it.
Yeah, right. Took a while, but that's it there, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Musker.
Thank you. It's all right. You're welcome.
And thank you one and all for listening to this episode of Fully Threaded Radio. We did keep it predominantly fastener related. I'm sure you'd agree, folks, but we deviated just a little bit. We couldn't do it without every one of you.
Right.
And that's going to put this episode of the podcast in the can. For Brian Musker, this is Eric Dudas. Get out there, sell some screws, have a cup of coffee perhaps.
Also.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, right. Till next time, folks. Less water, more coffee.
Fully Threaded Radio is a production of Fasteners Clearinghouse. Music provided by Audionautics.